Morning.
Good morning.
Malchus Daf Hey. Start with the Mishnah. My good friend Rabbi Berman spoke about this on a Shabbos after Hashkama Minyan. The Mishnah says, Mishalshem b'mamon v'mishalshem b'makos. You can divide mamon, but you cannot divide makos. Okay, so what exactly does that mean? Eidushu chayav l'chaver masayim zuz. So, along comes our original witnesses, and they testify, and we're learning makos, the first parak, and of course they're telling a lie. That's our topic throughout the parak. Avnimsu zomim, and they turn out to be edim zomim, and they're lying b'shamim b'neim. So here the money gets subdivided. It gets divided amongst the witnesses. So if there are two witnesses, and each one of them testify that, you know, Reuben owes Shimon $200. Reuben doesn't owe Shimon anything. they just totally made that up. And then it turns out that their court is Edom Zomimim. So the Mishnah tells us that now each one of the witnesses only needs to pay half. Right? It seems from the Mishnah that they're paying Reuben. Right? Reuben gets like a little bit of a bonus. Right? Reuben, remember, Reuben had nothing to do with anything. He was falsely accused. I mean, he suffered, and you could say that he suffered emotionally. Right? That may be.
Helps to pay for his attorney.
Yeah, paid for his attorneys. Okay, but it seems from the Mishnah does not say this very clearly, but it seems that they pay Reuven. But still, the point is that the two witnesses who were discredited and proven to be Edom Zomimim, so they get to split the cost, and they only have to pay 100 each. Aval, however, the Mishnah says this isn't true by Malkus. Im heidu hushu chayev Malkus arba'im. If let's say they come and they testify and they say that this person is chayev Malkus, and it's not Reuven Shimon anymore, it's just Reuven. Reuven violated a law in the Torah. He's chayev Malkus, and it turns out that they're Edom Zomimim. V'nimtzu Zomimim kol echavecha lo ke'arba'im. Each one of them is going to get 40 lashes. You don't split up the lashes. You take 20, right? Again, there's 39. 39 doesn't divide evenly. Okay, but, okay, we know that. You take 20, I'll take 20. Collectively now, that'll be 40. That we don't do. Okay? So in terms of accounting is concerned, money, right? 100 plus 100 equals 200. In Malkus, 20 plus 20 does not equal 40. Okay?
40 plus 40 is 40.
In the case where the Mishalmim and the Ger Malkus, not like said, here it makes it a separate case.
Right.
But if it was the same case where we were both punished when we said before, yes?
Yeah.
Then what?
Then
it made it sound like it makes it sound like a venue would split it, no?
That we it would seem like we would split. No, it seemed like when the money would be split, but the Malkus would not be split.
Separate case. Why isn't it just a separate case?
Yeah. Well, we don't pass like Reb Meir, so that's why the Gemara just goes to the trap.
If he were guilty of the accusation, who would he pay the 200 to?
If he were guilty, so Reuven's saying, I don't know money. Right? Reuven's sitting there in court. I don't know what these guys are talking about. I don't know any money.
Is he saying that he owes it to them?
No, Reuven just simply says, I don't know anything. I don't even know what's going on here. You drag me into court, you tell me I owe Shimon money, I don't even know what they're talking about. And then these witnesses proven to be Edom Zomimim, and that's it. The Manan Emili, so we're going to try to understand this a little bit better. How come money is split between the Edom Zomimim, but Malkus you don't split? So I'm Rabbi, and I'm a Rashi B'chayvim Malkus, and I'm a Rashi B'chayvim Mises based in my Lahalan. A Misa L'mechsa, Afkani Malkus L'mechsa. So the first approach of the Gemara is that Malkus is really a subcategory of Misa. We've seen this idea many times in the Gemara. Malkus, giving somebody lashes, he's not going to die in no way, form, shape, or form do we want him to die. It's corporal punishment. But it's still, nevertheless, though, you're beating him. And it's a form of Misa. Now, by Misa, you can't go halfway. If somebody needs to be executed, you can't give him a half execution. There's no such thing. Right? Either he's alive or he's dead. So just like by Misa, you can't go halfway, same thing is true by Malkus. You can't go halfway. So by the Edom Zomimim, once they're discredited and once you have to punish them, you have to go punish them all the way. And that's with the full 40. That's one approach of the Gemara.
It makes sense you go halfway.
Huh?
It makes perfect sense you go halfway on Malkus.
No, that's the Gemara's first argument is no, you don't. There's no, if
there's, no way, there's no way to logically do halfway on that. There is a way to do it.
There is a way to do it, which prompts the Gemara to say that if Malchus is a subcategory of Misa, which the Gemara is saying right now, so then no, you can't do it. Okay, but you're right. In other words, there is obviously a difference, but the Gemara's first approach is no, there's no difference. Rava Amar Bina Kasher Zama Masos Achiv Aleika. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem is. Rava argues, and Rava says the problem goes like this. The Torah says you have to do to them as they wanted to do to the victim. Right? It's reciprocity. So how does reciprocity be acted out? Well, they wanted 40 lashes to go to the victim, right? To the defendant. So they're going to get 40 lashes. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If that ihachi mamonami. Well, if that's true, so then why don't you say money? Mama mitzdarf, makos lamitzdarf. So the Gemara over here says a critical line. When it comes to mammon, you can combine, malchus cannot combine. Okay? Now, what exactly that means is very unclear. Okay, something like this. When it comes to money, so it's a question of reciprocity, right? They accuse the defendant of having to pay for $200. Right, that's their accusation, and so now they're turned out to be Adam Zomimim. The Torah says Vasisal Kasher Zamam. They need now full reciprocity, but money can combine, right? So you need to reciprocate the punishment upon us. We wanted to do 200, therefore we will pay 200. Okay, and I could pay 100, and I could pay 100. Well, 200, fine. It's full reciprocity. When it comes to Malchus does not combine. Now, why not? The Gemara's not very clear about that. Right? On the simplest level, you could simply say, well, in other words, they wanted him to get 40,
one person get 40,
and for 40. Them, for the two of them to get 40,
it's not the same.
It's not going to be the same. Okay, that's a simpler way to say it. There is a Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi wrote a parish on Chumash. He only wrote on Breishis and Shmos. Theories as to why that is, but he only wrote on Breishis and Shmos. The Beis Halevi says, you know why Malchus can't combine? It's a very interesting idea by the Beis Halevi. He says money, every dollar is as valuable as the next dollar, right? What's the difference between $100 versus the 101st dollar? It's every dollar has the same equivalency to it, has the same value to it, right? The Beis Halevi says you can't say the same thing about Malchus, right? By Malchus, right? You can't say
easier than the second,
right? The first one, the first hit you get, okay, fine. Then the second hit, and then the third hit, and you get hit upon hit. Each number hit that you receive, you can't attach a value, the same value, to the 21st hit as a 20th hit. So that's why I can't simply say, I'll get 20, you'll get 20, and that'll equal 40. No. When it comes to a beating, when it comes to a flogging, 20 plus 20 does not equal 40. Right? They want them to get 40. If we're talking reciprocity, they also need to get, each one of them needs to get 40, because 40 for one person is no way the same as 20 for two different people. That's the Beis Halevi in his parish on Chumash. And the Parshas Peshalach.
What happened if the person they intended to give Malchus to, you know, they knew that he would never get 40, but he was safe or something like that. Would they aid him be in the same position?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. That is a great question. Okay. Okay, next Mishnah. We are fourth day into Malchus, and now we get into the heart of the matter, right? Some of the more basic definitions. Gemara operates this way. You just get used to it. We start the Masechta with some of the details. You know, what if I testify about it, Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza? Right, that's the first Mishnah in Malchus. And then, when we talk now about the most basic halachas of what is Adam Zomimim, Kedav Hay. Okay, it's better, by the way, other Masechtas, like you don't get to the basic stuff until the second or third or fourth Perek. And here, it's, you know, you only have to wait 4 days until you get to the basic stuff. The Mishnah starts off, Hein Adam Nasim Zomim Machi Azimu Es Atzman. Okay? Adam Zomimim, when do they become discredited? When you discredit their essence, their very person. What exactly does that mean? Kepsad. Amru, so here the Mishnah clarifies itself. Amulem echata meidim shari nerag zeh or harig zeh haya imanu osto ayom b'makom ploni. If you dispute the facts, how can you say, right, here's the original witnesses say, well, this guy Reuven, he murdered. He murdered Shimon. And he gives a time and he gives a place. And along come the Edim, who are the second set of Edim, we'll call them the Edim HaMazimim, but over here they're not Mazim because this is not a case of Zomimim. And along come the second set of witnesses and say, what are you talking about? Reuven murdered Shimon on this and this date? And that date and that and that place, Reuven was with us. Or Shimon was with us. Can't possibly be. Your facts are wrong. So if we're disputing the facts, ain't Edom Zomim. This is not Edom Zomim. This is, of course, Edom HaMachishim. Right? The two set of witnesses are clearly disputing one another. We'll throw them out. Right? That's for sure. That's obvious. But I'll state the obvious. We'll throw them out. But it's not Edom Zomim. But says the Mishnah, if I turn to the witnesses and the second set of witnesses turn to the first set and say, how can you possibly testify that anything happened at that time and in that place? You were with us at that time and that place. Imanu hayisim b'makom ploni, you were with us at the time. That's Edom Zomimim. That's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, Ad sheyazimu es atzman. You're not arguing with their facts. You're not even listening to what they're saying. All you know is, they say that they were this place and this, right, at this certain time. And along comes the second set of witnesses and say, no, you weren't. You were with us at the time. Imanu ayisim b'makom ploni. You were with us at the time. Now you're debating, not the facts, but the very essence of what they, of where they say they were. So that's now the case of Edom Zomimim. Okay? When all said and done, right, let's just acknowledge the fact, it's still a chiddush. The whole idea of Edom Zomimim is still a radical chiddush. Because why do I believe the second set of witnesses as opposed to the first set of witnesses? Right? I understand that it's that they're touching more of the core, of the essence of what they're saying. They're not disputing a fact, they're disputing the very nature that these guys can actually testify. We understand that. But still, the first two are saying something and the second two are saying something. Why would I... Could be the second two are lying. It's possible, as opposed to the first two. Okay, so we will acknowledge the fact that when all said and done, it's still a chiddush. It's still a major chiddush that I'm going to believe the second one over the first one. But still, even in the chiddush, we're going to temper it just a little bit. It's only Edom Zomimim if they're not disputing the facts, but they're disputing the very essence of the first two. Okay. Baruchem v'hizimum. Baruchem v'hizimum. Afilu mea kulam yargu. Edom Zomimim, there's no limitation for Edom Zomimim. Meaning, a first set of witnesses come and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. Okay? Therefore, Reuven needs to die. And the second set of witnesses look at the first set of witnesses and say, are you kidding me? Right? We were at the wedding last night. We saw you at the wedding last night. You had no way you could have testified. You were with us at the time. Now comes the second set of witnesses. I understand we're up to a third. But another set of witnesses come and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. And the Edom Zom and the Edom HaMazimim, the same Edom HaMazimim, look at them and they say, you were also at the wedding. You also, there's no way you could have testified. And then another set and another set. And the Mishnah tells us there's no limitation. Are those Edom HaMazimim, it was a big wedding, everybody was there. I saw the whole community there. I don't know what they're doing testifying that Reuven killed Shimon out in a different town. All I'm saying right now is that we were there together at the wedding last night. And according to the Mishnah, there's no limitation. Our Edom HaMazimim could be Mazim. They can set up one set, two set, three set, ad infinitum, however many sets of witnesses they can, as Edom Zomimim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Istatis Hizu. This is Istatis. There's no good translation for Istatis. The Gemara... later on, I'm sorry, there's a Tosfos on the second amud of the page, who quotes the Rif. He says, Lashon Satim, they deviate, they plot, they design, whatever the case is. It's a strange word in the Mishnah.
Almost like Sota.
Like Sota, correct. Istatesi ze, ve'enu nerag, elakasa rishon bavad. Come on. The Edom HaMazimim, these second set of witnesses, they were with all these people? Doesn't make any sense. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there will come a point in time, I don't know when that point is, right? It's very unclear. But there will come a point in time when we look at the second set of witnesses and say, you guys can't possibly be telling the truth. Like, it's not these sets and these sets and these sets. It can't be that all these people were with you and that this murder didn't take place. Okay? And so therefore Rabbi Yehuda puts a cap on it, but I don't know, to be honest, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when we hit that cap, to what point, to what extent, we're not going to believe the Edom HaMazimim any longer. Okay.
So if there's that much confrontation, why would anybody even be executed in the process?
That's what Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying. It's just, there's too much going on over here. Can't be that these second set of witnesses were with everyone at the time. The Gemara later on will be bothered by the simple fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you do kill the first set of witnesses. What do you mean? If you kill the first set of witnesses, right, why would you kill them and not kill everybody else? If you really, if you're starting to question the Edom HaMazimim, so question them all around. Okay, the Gemara later on will be bothered by that. Fine. We start with the Gemara. Amar Memenha Nimili Amar Rav Ada Damakra Vine A Sheker Ha'ed Sheker Ana Ashiti Sheker Gufa Shel Eda. So one source of this halacha, that in order for this to be Edom Zomimim, you have to touch the core of the Edus. Meaning not the facts, but just simply their ability to testify by saying, you weren't there at the time. You were with us at the time. So one source comes from the Pasuk saying, Vine Eid Sheker Ha'ed. The witness is lying. Meaning the very nature of him being a witness is called into question. The Bei Rav Yishmael Tana La'anos Bo Sarah Ad Shetisra Gufa Shel Edus. Rashi says maybe comes from the word bo, la nos bo sara, he himself is coming to testify falsely. Okay, we're questioning the gufa shel edus. Amar Rava. Okay, two possible sources where this halacha is generated, that in order for it to be Edom Zomimim, it's not a question of confronting the facts, but confronting the actual witnesses themselves. Rava comes along, Ba'u Shnayim Va'amar Be'Mizrach Bira, some fine detailed halachas regarding Edom Zomimim. First set of witnesses come and they say, there was a murder, Reuven killed Shimon, and it took place on the east side of the Bira. Right? Bira usually refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Over here, I don't know if you have to translate that as literally as what Bira, could just simply mean a building, whatever. A murder took place on the east side of the Beis HaMikdash, or east side of the building. And then two sets of witnesses says, wait a second, how can that be? You were with us at the time on the west side of the building. So over here it's not, right, how Imanu Aisa Mama Kompona, you were with us at the time, like in a different city, but you were with us on another side of the building. So here, they weren't that far away from where the first set of the witnesses claimed that the scene of the crime took place. Imanu Ayisam, I'm sorry. Va'alom b'marav b'ira Imanu Ayisam. Chazina. So the Gemara says, in such a scenario, take a look. Iki dekaimi b'marav b'ira mechze chazalim mizrach b'ira in. I'm sorry, ein elu zomimim. V'imlav are elu zomimim. So now, the judge has got to go out to the scene of the crime. And they got to do a little forensic work. While standing on the west side of the building, you could see what's going on the east side of the building. So then the witnesses are telling the truth. In other words, here, everyone's telling the truth. The witnesses saw that the murder took place. The second set of witnesses says, what do you mean? You were with us on the other side of the building. True and true. Second set of witnesses weren't looking. They weren't paying attention. They didn't see the murder, but everyone's telling the truth. That would be fine. The Gemara says, pshita. Now, all this seems to be obvious. Meaning, I don't need Rava now to come along and tell us that if the first set of witnesses are able to be on the west side of the building and see the crime on the east side of the building, then everyone's telling the truth and we're going to go forward in the court. That's something I need rubber for, pshita. The Gemara says, well, maybe, let's say, Basin goes over there and says, there's no way they could have seen it. If the second set of witnesses are right, that they were on the other side of the building, and we're standing on the other side of the building, and we can't see what's going on this side of the building, so the Gemara says, I might have thought, as a Havamina, maybe the first set of witnesses have exceptional vision. Right? The Gemara calls it Nahura Birya, healthy light, right? Healthy eyes.
Could they test their vision? Could they test their
vision? Yeah, I imagine they would, but I'm just saying, we don't assume that the witnesses have any superpowers. So if Basin can't see it, so we'll assume that the witnesses can't see it as well. The Amarava. And similarly, now the second halacha is basically going to go hand in hand with the first one. In the town of Sura, which is a town in somewhere in the middle of Iraq, so on a Sunday morning there was a murder. Reuven killed Shimon. Along comes two other witnesses. In the afternoon, these two guys who testified were in the town of Naharda. The distance between Sur and Naharda, I don't know. Sur and Naharda were the two main yeshivas out in Bavel. Naharda, unfortunately, did not last. After the death of Shmuel, Naharda went downhill from there. But, okay, whatever. That's not important right now. So, Sur and Naharda are the two yeshivas out in Bavel. And in Sunday afternoon, they were out in Naharda. So, Chazina. So, the Gemara says, again, just do a little bit of forensics. If you can trek from Sur to Naharda in less than a day, from the morning to the afternoon, so then everyone can be telling the truth. The witnesses can be telling the truth about the murder that takes place in Surah. The other second set of witnesses, yeah, and we saw them in Arda in the afternoon. Elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim, they're both telling the truth. So Pshita, the Gemara says, again, that seems to be obvious, right? I need Rava for this. Ma'u detem alechush le'gemala parcha kamash malan. Well, what about the flying camels? The Gemara does not mean flying camels. We understand that. The Gemara just simply means that, you know, there could be something, right? Back then, they didn't have cars. Imagine, right, in their imagination, right? Can you imagine? We're going to put something on four wheels and we'll give it an engine with combustion and, right? From their standpoint, that's fantasy, right? But, right, could it happen that maybe there was some sort of mode of unbelievable transportation that got you from Sura to Naharda? And even though normally it's not human, people can't do it, maybe they got some sort of exceptional transportation from Sura to Naharda. The Gemara says, we're not worried about that. Meaning that if you cannot travel from Sura to Naharda from Sunday morning to Sunday afternoon, so we will not give some sort of explanation of how they went through some sort of super transportation.
What modes of transportation? Because the horse can be faster than camel. I mean,
flying. The Gemara uses the expression flying camels, meaning that there's something that we don't, under normal circumstances, we can't explain it, but maybe they did something that we can't explain. Similar to what the Gemara suggested just a moment ago, that we can't see it, but maybe they have supervision. We don't assume that.
What would Ramea say? Choshesh Lemir?
No. Choshesh Lemir, only the Chomer. Over here, we're talking about... Okay, not over here.
Maybe they do have exceptional vision. You would think that requires...
No, but to trust them...
This is the probability.
To say, right, we're talking about saying that... That supervision.
The Zomimim case.
Right.
The Zomimim's, the second set of Adams and the first set of Adams couldn't have seen it. They couldn't have been there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words,
I'd be attenuated for the second group before you put someone to death.
Right, right, because we are going to put the Zomimim to death. I guess it's so, I guess what the Gemara is saying is it's just so out of the realm of possibility.
But then you would put the first guy to death. You don't put a Zomim, so somebody's going to die.
Right.
Right? Tzilu.
But I'm suggesting...
No, just why not, the Gemara's point was you don't take the actual witnesses out and say that... And let them see it.
Right,
their
right.
Side. You take the Bezdin
out. I'm saying super right, X-ray, the super X-ray vision and the flying camels. I think what the Gemara is saying is that it's just it's not going to happen. Right. Amar Rava Boshlein v'Amar Bechar b'Shabbos Arakpanis HaNefesh. Okay. More fine details regarding Edim and Zomimim. Two come along and say that on Sunday, Reuben killed Shimon, and then. Another set of witnesses come v'amru imanu ayisim b'chaba shabasa. Look, these first set of witnesses, they're out of their mind. They were with us on Sunday. Sunday we were on a boat, we were fishing. They were not there. They didn't see anything. However, what they're saying is true. They didn't see it.
We saw it.
We saw it. And it happened on Monday. El b'treva shabasa harei ploni es hanefesh Reuben killed someone on Monday. Okay, so factually correct, but these first set of witnesses are simply, they're conspiring. Didn't happen on Sunday. And not only did it not happen on Sunday, they were with us at the time. But let's go even one step further. Let's say that the second set of witnesses also acknowledge that it happened in the past. It happened last Friday. The first set of witnesses said it happened on Sunday, and the second set of witnesses says, no, Imano, he's talking about Makafloni. But factually, they're right. Reuben did kill Shimon. It happened already this past Friday. Neheragin. Okay? First set of witnesses are put to death. Edim Zomimim. Debi'inah dekamisadi gavralav barkatalahu. Because when they testified, Reuben is not yet a barkatalah. He's not yet a dead man. Okay. Now, what exactly does that mean? Okay. Look at Rashi. Rashi, my time at the beina de kamisadi kishabal yom shlishi b'shabbos la'id alav akasi garv alav bar katala shohu shalohuad alav beveizden. Rashi writes. Rashi's right alongside the Gemara, just a couple lines up from where we are in the Gemara. Rashi says, because we didn't testify yet about him yet in court, and look at the next lines of Rashi, the next three lines of Rashi. V'ilu hava ase umode have mifter. Okay, pay careful attention. Rashi says that if this guy, if Reuben would have come into court and would have admitted his wrongdoing, he would have been exempted. And then you would have accused somebody and wrongfully executed somebody who does not need to be executed because he admitted that he was a murderer. Okay, it sounds like Rashi. Right, we're going to show you Tosfos in just a moment. It sounds from Rashi that if you make an admission that you committed murder, you're not put to death.
So I think any
murderer. Yeah. Right. Correct. This only sounds like way from Rashi. Now, before we attack Rashi, just understand why Rashi's saying that. Because the Gemara is saying that if the murder already took place, and the first set of witnesses are coming and they're claiming that the murder took place on Sunday, they're lying. They're what they're saying is not true. It didn't take place. But still, though, they're testifying about somebody who is a murderer. So what Rashi's explaining is. Yeah, but still, they're Edim Zomimim because we may not end up murdering this, executing is a better word. We may not be executing this guy because this guy may get off the hook. How is he going to get off the hook? So that's what Rashi says, because he may come into court and admit his wrongdoing. Okay, now, right, by Kenas, we know more to be Knas Pater. That when it's a punitive fine, and you make an admission to a punitive fine, so you're off the hook. Right, you're exempt from having to pay any penalties. In all of Shas, we never see this idea that if it's murder and you admit to the murder, you're off the hook. We never see that. And Rashi suggests over here that that's going to be in fact the case. Yeah, but that's not, right. That's in terms of.
If he says I murdered, he cannot make himself to be a Russian.
Right, but Rashi's saying much more than that. Rashi's saying that you're. In other words, if two witnesses come and substantiate that you are in fact a murderer, you're not going to be executed. That sounds that's what Rashi sounds like. Look at Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page.
You're thinking that Rashi's saying only before. It's still chiddush before the witnesses come. Like if the witnesses would come first,
right.
And then he admitted,
right.
It doesn't sound like
right.
It's still chiddush.
Right. Toast the second toast
like,
on the page.
Like they say it like on all the cop and robber shows. If you admit it, you won't get the death penalty.
Right. You know, correct. Perish akonshus mishum di iave mo de mifter velo nire. Tosa says, I don't know what Rashi's saying. The zelamatfina, the imkein kochayde misus based in yacholahodos liftor, and then Simon Tosa makes exactly your point. We don't find anywhere that somebody could just walk into court and say, I committed murder. Okay, I know I did wrong, but now I'm off the hook. You can't execute me now because I admitted it. We don't find that. The holdos liftor asmo v'nir lefarish. So now. So Tosfos just simply rejects Rashi. Is Rashi defendable? Rashi's always defendable. There's always a defense for Rashi. Just, you know, it's not always that evident. And I don't have one over here. But Tosfos just simply flat out rejects Rashi. Now that Tosfos did that, so now we need a pshat in the Gemara, right? Because we're talking now about a scenario where Reuven did commit murder. It was done this past Friday. But still, the Gemara says he's lav bar katala. What does that mean, he's lav bar katala? So Tosfos says, I'll give you a very simple pshat. V'nir lefarish lav bar katala, hu perish kodim shenigmar dino, hu deshem lo yavo edim. V'im yavo edim lo yedu sem kayam. Right, a simple pshat. Look, he's a murderer. He committed murder on Friday. There's a process. There's a legal process. We spent an entire Masechta talking about it. Edom have to come in, and the Edom have to align with one another, and the Edom can't be... And there's a whole process. Until Beis Din comes up with the words, guilty, and we're going to execute, right? Until Beis Din says that, he's not yet a dead man. He's lav bar katala, simply for the fact that we didn't get to the end of the process. And it's very possible... Remember, Rabbi Kiva said at the end of Sanhedrin, right, a court that kills every 70 years, right, that's crazy. And until we get to that point in time, we're not going to assume that even though Reuven did do murder, that in fact he's a bar katala, he's a dead man walking. Right? Tosfos says that's a simple pshat in the Gemara. Okay. Back to the Gemara. You're going to say, La bar katala, whom I kamashal on Tanina. Okay, the Gemara says, this is now a halacha set over by Rava. The Gemara says, wait a second, I don't need Rava for all this. Tanina, because we learned in the following Mishnah. Lefichach nimzezachem im zomemes, hu vehein neragin vashnia ptura. So the Gemara talks about a case where I have two sets of witnesses testifying that a murder took place. Okay? One of the sets turned out to be Adam Zomemim. So you know who we kill? A lot of people are going to be executed now. First of all, the murder is going to be executed because there are two valid witnesses testifying that he committed murder. Two is that the Adam Zomemim are going to be put to death because they're Adam Zomemim. Mishnah, we'll see the Mishnah tomorrow, God willing. So once we know that, so Rava's already, right? We already are clued into the Halacha Rava. Say from Mashain came to Gemara Din, it's Derech Leim. The Gemara says, you're right. So that first halacha of Rava is not teaching us anything new, but there's another point that Rava made. Two witnesses come and they say that we are witness to Gemara Din. Right? We're not testifying about the murder. We're testifying that in a court of law, Reuven was sentenced to die. He was sentenced to be executed. And that takes place on Sunday. So now, second set of witnesses come. And they say, first of all, Sunday, remember you were with us at the time? What are you talking about? Number two, it's true. Reuven was sentenced. Last Friday, he was sentenced. Below, Adelafil Amr Bechebe Shabbos Nikmar Dino Shoploni, Ein Elu Neheragin. Now that's the chiddush, that the first set of witnesses are not put to death because what they're testifying is about a dead guy. And over here, you don't have the problem that we had earlier, right? That maybe Beis Din won't go through with it because over here the issue is not he committed murder. The issue is Beis Din sentenced him to die. Now what we just learned is also true regarding Kenas as well. So we have a case of Kenas. The case is same case as we discussed earlier, where the first set of witnesses say that it happened on Sunday. Second set of witnesses said, what do you mean? There was no theft on Sunday. You were with us on Sunday. But there was a theft. The theft took place either on Monday, or it takes place Shabbos, mishamim. So there, they would be mishalim. Because over there, the person may not be a bar tashlamim. Because remember, when it comes to kenas, same story. You only pay kenas after Beis Din says you have to pay kenas, not before. And again now, just same story. Over here, the testimony is about the Gemar Din. And the second set of witnesses said, second set of witnesses say, number one, you were with us at the time on Sunday, so you're Edim Zomimim. Number two, the defendant did in fact steal and shechted or sold the animal. And the Gemara took place last Friday. V'lo ad alafil amr b'cha b'shabasa, ganav v'tavach u'machar, u'v'trev v'shabasa nigmar dino, e'im eshalmim, then there's no tashlamim, d'b'ina d'kamisade, gavar bar tashlamim, because he already has to pay. Okay, fine. Rabbi Yehuda omer istatis hizu. Okay, istatis hizu, afilu kashkishon anami lo. In the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says that there's some limit. We're not going to just simply say that these Edom Mazimim are going to discredit the first set, the second set, the third set. There comes a point in time where we look at the Edom Mazimim and say, come on, you can't be. Can't be that the whole world was with you at the time. Right? And we start casting aspersion on the Edom Mazimim. That's Rav Yehuda's position. Interestingly enough, we don't pass like Rav Yehuda, we hold like the Tanakama. But that's Rav Yehuda's position. The Gemara is bothered by the fact that, so then why did you put the first set of witnesses to death? If we're casting aspersion on the Edom HaMazimim, so then everyone should just simply walk away. No one should be executed. So Rabbi Abo says, well, the Mishnah is talking about a case where it was done already. And then along comes the second set of witnesses and so forth and so on. So the Gemara says, "My dehava hava." So, if that's true, so then what happened happened already. Meaning that the Mishnah is not teaching us a halacha. The Mishnah is giving us a story. Right? Mishnayos don't do that. Mishnayos are there to teach us law. It's not there to give us a story. Well, here's what happened. First set of witnesses come and they say that Reuven killed Shimon. Then you have a second set of witnesses come, and the second set of witnesses discredit the first set of witnesses, so the first set of witnesses die. And then after that, in comes set number three already, and the Edom HaMazimim discredit them. And in comes set number four, and the Edom HaMazimim discredit them. And then we start looking at the Edom HaMazimim and say, you guys are, right, it's too much. It's too fishy. And the first set of witnesses is not it's not that the Mishnah is teaching us a law. Just happens to be that that's what happened. I don't Mishnayos are not there to tell us a story. Ela amar Rava hachi kamar imenu ala kasachas nereges. So Rava says, okay, so you know what the pshat in the Mishnah is? If there's only one set of witnesses, they're killed. After that point in time, no more. Okay, at least now I can tell you that what's the limitation? Edom HaZimim can only do it to one set of witnesses, not any more than one set of witnesses. That's the only Rava's understanding of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, that's a beautiful pshat in the Mishnah. It doesn't fit into the words of the Mishnah. How bilvad kamar, when you look back at the Mishnah, that doesn't read in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Eino nerag ela kat harishona bilvad. I only put to death the first set of witnesses. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, if there's only one set of witnesses, then and only then you put them to death. Kasha, the Gemara says that's difficult. You're right. It doesn't read well into the Mishnah. Hahi Issa, there is a woman. Okay, she brings in two sets of witnesses. They lie. We know that the first set of witnesses lied. Maybe another set of witnesses came and discredited them. Maybe we know it from based on other. Doesn't matter. Okay, her first set of witnesses lied. Issa Saadi Vishtakya. She brings the second set of witnesses and they also lie. Right, you're starting to get the picture. This woman over here, as a hobby, she brings in witnesses who lie. Okay, it's a strange hobby, but that's what she does. Now she brings in the third set of witnesses, and the third set of witnesses seem to be saying the truth. Reish Lakish, Amar Reish Lakish Huchzuku Zu. So Reish Lakish says, I don't care the fact that these third set of witnesses seem to be saying the truth. Look at this woman. This woman over here brought in two sets of witnesses who are lying. Can't be. Amale Rav Elazar says to Reish Lakish, "Im hi huchzuka kol Yisrael mi huchzuka." Look, you're right. The woman, I strongly doubt. But the credibility is not going on the woman. The issue of credibility is going on the witnesses. So you're right. The first and second set of witnesses are discredited. But here you have a fresh set of witnesses. They seem to be saying the truth. Well, there's no reason why we should assume otherwise. Zimnin, and stop in period and leave it at that. We have a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Elazar, whether or not we're gonna believe the third set of witnesses. Zimnin habayasi kama de Rabbi Yochanan asikai maisa lekamayu. Okay, they were in front of Rav Yochanan. Same story happened. I'm Reish Lakish. So again, Reish Lakish was consistent. If the first set and the second set of witnesses are lying, I bet you the third set are also. So the Gemara says, no, don't cast aspersion on the Jewish people. I know the first and second set of witnesses were lying, but that doesn't automatically mean the third set are going to lie. And he looks over at Rav Elazar, and Reish Lakish, and he looks at him with like a bad eye, like, I can't believe it. Rav Yochanan agrees with you? Makes me crazy. Amalei shmat mili mi bar panachav ala amartli. And look, Reish Lakish says to Rav Elazar, you didn't say that on your own. Rav Yochanan said that, right? Rav Yochanan's his brother-in-law, his Rebbe. Rav Yochanan stated that. Period. Right? And so Reish Lakish was just upset that Rav Elazar said something seemingly on his own, and it turns out to be a statement made by Rav Yochanan. Okay. Lema Reish Lakish d'amar k'Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda d'amar k'Rabbanan. Now, what it seems to be going on over here is that this machlokis between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is really just a carryover of the machlokas in our Mishnah. What's happening in our Mishnah? I have Edom Amazimim. They discredit the first set, the second set, the third set, and they're discrediting people left and right. It comes a point in time where we look at them and we say, they're just too much. You can't be that you're right and everybody else is wrong. Right? Can't be. Okay? That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And as opposed to the Tanakhama says, no, it could be that the Edom HaMazimim are right. They're not telling the truth, and they're not telling the truth. And the Gemara says it seems to be that this machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is really just a carryover of the machlokas of the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Lema Reish Lakish Tamakar Rav Yehuda. And the way we'll align it will go like this. Reish Lakish goes like Rav Yehuda. Like, there comes a point in time where we're just simply going to say, No, you're not, it can't be. You're not telling the truth. Right? I don't care how many witnesses you bring in, you're not telling the truth. And Rav Yochanan will be going like the Chachamim, where Rav Yochanan says, no, could be. So I'm like Reish Lakish, I'm a Dharma Lachafi LaRabbanan. And Reish Lakish says, don't do that. Don't pigeonhole me. Don't tell me that I'm going like Rav Yehuda. I can lo kama Rabbanan hasam delaika kama hadar. Avahacha ikahu de kama hadra. Because look, over here, The woman, she is, if you like basketball, you like the analogy. If you don't know from basketball, so bear with me. But the woman's like the point guard, meaning that, right, the first set of witnesses, second set of witnesses, they're all coming as a result of her. She's the one who's bringing everything in. So the third set of witnesses, I know they're Jewish people, and we assume the Jewish people are telling the truth. But they're here because of this woman, the same woman who brought the first and second set of witnesses in. At one point in time, you have to connect the dots. The woman's bringing it in. In our Mishnah, it's one set of witnesses. No one's bringing the witnesses in. They're coming in on their own. So Reish Lakish says, I can agree with the Chachamim and the Mishnah Makos and still tell you that it comes a point in time that this woman is the one bringing all these witnesses in. I do not like it. I'm not comfortable with the third set of witnesses.
How do they know there's no one who's the point guard in the murder case? And how do they know in this case that she's doing it? It's just the Hechitimsa.
It's just the Hechitimsa.
But it could be that in the case, in the Mishnah, that there is somebody.
Correct.
I mean, you would think that it's the...
Correct.
Think it's the murderer or the murderer's family that's bringing
it. I understand. And so, but here we know, point blank, that she's bringing them in. But you're right.
Because they ended up telling me?
You're right. It's just a Hechitimsa. The way the Gemara presents it, Asai Sahadi, she brings him in. You're right. Rabbi Yochanan Amalachana Dami Afila Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yochanan says, and again, don't do the same. Don't do it to me. Don't pigeonhole me. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yehuda asam Dami Nanatu Kuleyama Gabi Hani Hava Kaimet. Because in the Mishnah, you're really asking a powerful question. Rabbi Yehuda is asking a powerful question, which is, these Edom HaMazimim, they were with everybody, right? The whole world was with them at the time. You were with us at the time, and you were with us at the time, and you were... Like, it gets to the point of being ridiculous. Over here, what's ridiculous? The first set of witnesses lied. They didn't know what happened. Second set of witnesses lied. They didn't know what happened. Could still be the third set of witnesses are not lying. Right, it's not as crazy, it's not as ridiculous as the case of the Mishnah, where these Edom HaMazimim, they were with everybody at the time. Imanu Ayisim B'makom Plani.
She just didn't find them in the
right
time.
Right,
right.
Fine. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. I know we're short on time. The next Mishnah also touches on a major fundamental issue by Edom HaZomim. Edom and Edom HaZomim Neragim Ad Sheyigmar HaDin. Edom Zomimim has a tiny window of opportunity. There's this fantastic idea of reciprocity, that when Edom Zomimim come into court and they accuse somebody of doing something, so ve'asisim lo kasher zamam lasos la'achiv, you do to them what they wanted to do to you. However, the Mishnah says that window of opportunity for reciprocity is small. It's a narrow window. When does the window open? After Gemar Din. Right? After the court says, so-and-so is chayef. Sharei ha-tzedukim amr achi yarag shenemer nefesh tachas nefesh. Those tzedukim, the Sadducees, the ones who like to take the Torah literally, they think that, you know, when you put to death the Edom Zomimim, only and only if the defendant was actually murdered. And they're thinking, it's not terrible thinking, their thinking is, right? Let's go nefesh tachas nefesh. Let's go life for a life. You caused the death of that person, we're putting you to death. Right? That's what the tzedukim say. Now, without Torah Sheba'al Peh, right? It's not crazy, but we have Torah Sheba'al Peh. So it's not correct. Nefesh tachas nefesh. Amar lahem chachamim v'lo kvar nemar. V'asisam lo kasher zamam lasos achiv v'arei achiv kayam. But here, interestingly enough, the Chachamim argue using Chumash, meaning it's interesting. You could have just simply said Torah Sheva'al Peh, right? It's just part of the oral tradition. But using Chumash, the Chachamim argue with the Tzedukim, and they say that Asisam Lo Kasher Zamam La'asos La'achiv to your brother. He's got to be there. V'areachiv Kayam Im Kein Lama Nemar Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. So what do I gain from the pasuk Nefesh Tachas Nefesh? Yachum Yishar Shekib Lo Yedasam Yargu. I might have thought that the moment that you accept their testimony, at that point they stand ready and possibly candidates for Edim Zomimim, Tamar Lomar Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, Ha'inim Ne'ara Gemashi Yigmar Din. No, you need Gemar Din. Okay? So, let's put the brackets up. When do they become candidates for Edim Zomimim? After Gemar Din. When are they no longer candidates for Edim Zomimim? If the person was in fact executed. And from that point forward, they're no longer candidates for Edim Zomimim. The Gemara spells it out as clear as day. Tana Baribi was taught by Baribi. Rashi just simply says that's his name. Name of the Tana. Tana Baribi, Omer lo hargu neharagin, hargu ein neharagin. If the man is executed, if the defendant was executed, Edim Zomimim are off the hook. And hargu... I'm sorry, lo hargu neharagin, hargu neharagin. Okay. Fine. Right. We're out of time. Okay.
The Mishnah just say that?
Huh?
What are the answer
to
the Mishnah?
The Mishnah doesn't spell it out as... The Mishnah talks about...
He expresses it in a simple...
He's just right. They're just simply the way he says it. Okay.
Straightforward.
Fine.
But
let me just...
Right?
I don't know. Because of Losana?
Yeah, it would.
I don't know.
It's
got to
get something.
Okay. I'll end off this morning with a point by the Ramban. Ramban and Chumash. Right? It's a philosophical challenge that here you have Edim Zomimim. So it doesn't make any sense. I mean, the Gemara is going to say it. We'll see the Gemara tomorrow. It doesn't make any sense. If they just simply set up somebody to die, so they themselves are going to be put to death as Edim Zomimim. If they cause a person to die, so then they're not going to be killed as Edim Zomimim. If we would leave ourselves to logic, logic would indicate just the opposite. If they set somebody up to die and they're put to death, if they actually went through with it and somebody died on account of their testimony, they for sure should be put to death. Right? It sounds logical. And meanwhile, that's not the halacha. The halacha is only from the point of Gemar Din to the point of execution. After they are executed, it's over. They're no longer put to death as Edim Zomimim. So, are we supposed to understand that? The Torah says it. So there's a Ramban on Chumash, a beautiful Ramban. The Ramban on Chumash says, I'm going to paraphrase, I'll give it to you in short. Take a look, it's in Parsha Shoftim, it's by the Parsha of Edim Zomimim. The Ramban says, look, when we have a court over here, our court is run by human beings, prone to human error, right? Plain and simple. And we find it all the time in our court system here in America, right? Where courts are subject to human error. It happens all the time. That's part of the justice process. We, however, the Ramban writes, are of the firm belief that our court system is run by humans, but divinely inspired and assisted and aided by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when something happens like somebody's brought to court by Edim Zomimim and is actually put to death, it comes the point in time where we have to now believe that if that happened through our court system, must be that was divinely ordained. Can no longer be that, oh, oops, right? Somebody through Beis Din died by mistake. Can't be. And so the Ramban says it must be that there was some reason based on the behavior of that individual that he was put to death by the court. And so therefore, once that's true, so now even though the Edim Zomimim, what they did was terrible and inexcusable, and you're right, we're not justifying their action, but to a certain degree, that must have been for whatever higher order design, for whatever God's purpose and reason, this person needed to die through this process, and therefore it was right in that which happened. Okay, take a look at the Ramban on Shoftim.